Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Alexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Alexa.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, my doctor and a most incredible individual, Dr. Lane Sebring, is joining me, and I can't wait for you to hear this interview. Dr. Sebring is known, if you do some Googling, you'll see, he's been called the paleo doctor, and we do dive a lot into paleo today. We talk about ketosis, the ketogenic lifestyle or the ketogenic approach to eating. We talk about exogenous ketones, and you're going to learn a lot here. I certainly have learned so much from having Dr. Sebring as my doctor. And for those of you that have been following my journey online, you know that it's been a really difficult transition for me before I started seeing Dr. Sebring. Last year in particular was a very hard year for me. I listened to some inappropriate advice, and that I have to take responsibility for that. But I had to really start listening to my gut. And when I did start listening to my gut and I realized I was in the wrong place, and I realized I was actually hesitant to first go see Dr. Sebring. And I'm so glad that I got over my hesitation, because at that point, I think I was feeling so frustrated with having made all these changes in my diet. I was still taking bioidentical hormonal replacement treatment. I still am. But I had this attitude of, oh, great, I'm going to go see another doctor who's going to try to figure me out. And I'm so glad I got over that and said, okay, let's go see him. Because I remember when I spent that first hour and a half with him in his practice, and that tells you that he's a different kind of doctor right there. The fact that he spends at least an hour, typically with most patients, hour and a half, he runs his practice completely differently than most. I realized I was in the right place. And ever since, I have been listening to him and only him. He's dramatically transformed my health, my body. I am so forever grateful to him. And I'm so excited to have him on the show, because so much of what he educates me on and his patients on, what he's going to educate you on, is, you know, food and lifestyle and how those things, which are a lot of what we talk about on the show, are what can dramatically increase your health and your fitness results. So this is about longevity. This is about how you feel in life and how you can function, not just how you look, but it can also, a lot of these choices, particularly in diet and lifestyle and activity, how they can affect you, your fitness results. So fitness and health combined. Overall longevity and wellness, all good. A few things just to enhance my raving about Dr. Sebring. And again, full disclosure, he is my doctor. Dr. Lane Sebring has practiced medicine in Wimberley, Texas for more than 18 years. While working in private practice, it became apparent to Dr. Sebring that the current medical paradigm was designed to treat the symptoms of the herd and not the causal-based problem of the individual. He began attending multiple conferences in nutrition in an effort to broaden his education and understanding. He soon found that his whole paradigm had changed. Dr. Sebring served as the board examiner for the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. He has become a recognized expert in alternative and anti-aging medicine and has been called the first physician, as I referenced before, to base his practice and recommendations for patients on the paleo diet. So again, I'm very honored that Dr. Sebring decided to come on the show. We're definitely going to have him back on the show. This will be our first episode. Enjoy this interview where we talk again about why he first decided to go paleo, why he follows this approach to eating, as well as the ketogenic lifestyle and uses exogenous ketones as well, and then why he recommends this for his patients. I ask a lot of questions as a typical patient, as one of his patients, and I think you're really going to enjoy learning how this is all broken down and what it means for you from a fitness and health perspective. Dive in and enjoy.
Hey, everybody. everybody. Welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. And today on the show, I am very pleased to welcome my doctor and someone with an incredible, extraordinary amount of expertise in so many areas. He's changed my life and my health for the better. I raved about him in the intro. But Dr. Lane Sebring, welcome to the show. I'm super excited to start talking. And I want to get the most juice I can out of this orange today, out of this chat time. And I know you have such a busy schedule. So we are going to dive right in. There are a lot of folks that are listening here that are learning about you for the first time. And I know that you are called, and maybe, I don't think you call yourself this, but a lot of people refer to you, Dr. Sebring, as the paleo doctor. And I know from knowing you personally, but also knowing you as my doctor, that you're a strong advocate for the paleo lifestyle, if you will, a paleo approach to eating. It's definitely something that, you know, I follow, as well as, you know, a ketogenic paleo keto, if you will, with intermittent fasting thrown in there. And it really works for me. But with you, I'd love for you to tell our listeners, you know, when did you first start a paleo lifestyle, and why, and why do you recommend it so strongly for yourself? I mean, obviously you practice it, but also for your patients.
Right. Well, hello, Kelly. I got lucky. I think I was practicing. It was pretty early in my medical career as a practicing physician. I had my own clinic, and I sort of recognized that the toolbox I had was quite small. I'd been taught scalpels and drugs, and everything else was kind of delegitimized, if you will. So I stepped out of that box and started going to nutrition conferences, and I found the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, A4M. And I went to what is now a famous conference called Boulder Fest. It was quite small, and the first time I went, I think there were 14 people there, and I was very lucky to listen to a lecture by a Dr. Lauren Cordain, who is pretty famous amongst the paleo crowd. He actually wrote the first real book on it, articulating what the paleo diet was. And he turned my head around in about 5 minutes, because that paleo diet explained so much. You know, medicine has no concepts. You have these symptoms caused by this disease, and therefore you get this pill. Next. And that's the way it's practiced. I'm sort of a concept person. I need some philosophy. I need to understand how this works, and then I can use my own brain to figure out what to do with it. But that doesn't exist in medicine. And so all of a sudden, now I had a template that was offered to me. He explained why humans got all these diseases and why wild animals on pristine parts of the planet do not. I mean, you've never seen a wild animal overweight. And you've probably never seen one with a chronic disease. And in fact, if you were out on some pristine part of the planet, you looked through the trees and saw a wild animal there and it had some chronic disease, it would be like, I'm out of here. I don't know what's wrong, but there's something wrong here. So it really rang for me when we started, when we changed our diet, we started growing our own foods, and we chose grains because we could store them in an area that was going dry. The climate changed, and the plants were dying out, and the animals were disappearing, and the humans that populated that area in the Middle East had to do something to survive. So I started growing grains, and grains aren't really food for anything on the planet. Grains don't want to be eaten. And so this, all this, wait, food wants to be eaten. Yeah, vegetables, fruits, and berries, they want to feed us and have us do well so we can scatter their seeds over the countryside, and all the wild animals do the same. One rain, you have a bunch of new plants. And that's their strategy. So they learn to feed us, and they do a magnificent job of doing that. And then, of course, I found hunter-gatherers that ate about two-thirds or more of their diet was from animal. Animals don't want to be eaten, but too bad. You eat them, they give you everything they've got, and they have pretty much everything you need. So this really made great sense to me. And when we added the grains, we lost 6 to 7 inches in height. And chronic diseases began, and gotten worse ever since. Yeah, osteoporosis shows up for the first time in human history. Autoimmune diseases began at that point, never before seen in the archaeologic record. And that introduction of our robust, loss of our robustness, if you will, follows the introduction of grains into the diet all around the world. Our not only a loss in height, but The sphenoid bone that buttresses the sides of our skull and supplies the bottom of the bucket for the brain was no longer strong enough to span that original distance because of the development of osteoporosis due to the, you know, the weakened bones due to the grains being added to the diet. And so as a result, that bone was narrowed. Our bodies narrowed that bone, so our faces became more narrow. Our brains got smaller. We ended up with the nose narrowed so much we can hardly breathe out of it. So we have all these problems with our nose and sinus infections, etc. Hunter-gatherers can run all day long, even sprinting and running down animals, and never open their mouths to breathe because the nose is not a restriction. We pretty quickly have our mouths wide open, gasping for air. All of us, and our jaws were smaller too, so there wasn't enough room for all of our teeth. And that's why we have overlapping teeth and people need their wisdom teeth removed. And we have all this crowding of teeth. And that also followed the introduction of grains in the diet all around the world. Now, that's a huge revelation in terms of human health and what we can do about that. We've sort of done this to ourselves. I think it's Lorraine Keith. She wrote a book called The Vegetarian Myth. She was a vegetarian for, I think, for about 20 years. And now she's a militant carnivore. But she said, and I thought this was really profound, when mankind put the plow to the soil, he set forth a chain of events that will ultimately end up in his demise. And that's pretty scary. But if you fast forward this, we're not doing a very good job with our health, at least. And so now I had a template that I could use and help people. And I started using that and teaching my patients about paleo, and they would do that, and I'm watching their diseases disappear. They no longer had that disease, which, you know, we were always taught that once you have it, you've got it. Once a diabetic, you're diabetic. I mean, that's it. It's like fairy dust that gets sprinkled up on you. I mean, I don't know where that came from, but I've got a disease. He says, I have a disease. I've got a disease. But it's not that way. It's really a metabolic problem that you can reverse. And by changing what you eat. And so that was a fantastic point for me and a fantastic point for my patients as well. And so I've been doing that process with my patients now for about 20 years. It was 1997 that I first heard that lecture by Dr. Lauren Cordain.
Wow. So before you, I didn't even realize, I think probably a lot of our listeners too, they think that paleo is more, it's very recent, like it's only been around now. It certainly got a lot of mainstream coverage with the emergence of CrossFit being such a paleo-focused community. Yes. And CrossFit becoming so mainstream. So if you heard about this back in 1997, it probably has been around a lot longer than we think. Is there I'm just curious, is there like a beginning start date to when somebody first started talking about a paleo approach or no?
Well, yes, to answer your question, I think about 1983, there was an article in JAMA that really didn't articulate the diet so much as it did articulate the fact that hunter-gatherers are incredibly healthy people. You know, they don't get these chronic diseases that we get. Hunter-gatherers die almost universally of one of three causes: trauma, infection, and in their sleep at a ripe old age, having 70s, 80s, and 90s, they've been running around like nothing. And then one day, boom, they wake up dead, you know? And so having danced through the night like everyone else two nights before. So they maintain that health until they're not. I had a patient who was sitting in a room one day, and I walked in. He said, you know, Dr. Sebring, I've been a patient about 12 years at the time. And he said, I never read any of your articles before, but I'm reading some of your articles in here. And, you know, my wife and I like go to Africa about every 3 to 4 years for like 4 to 6 months at a time. And one of the things we like to do is live with hunter-gatherers. And those people are an absolute testament to what you're talking about here. They're these people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s running around like nothing. And that's where I got that phrase from him. And he said, in one day, you know, so-and-so died. Oh, I didn't know they were sick. No, not sick. Died. You know, and that's a totally different situation. People there don't really get sick and die. Now, they can die of infection, but that's a much more humane way to go. But now we're expected to die by pieces, and getting all these diseases that we begin to collect as we get older is expected. And it's really not normal. It's man mind. It's all created by us, by man. So, but to this answer your question, when did it really begin? I would say about 2.6 million years ago. But it's not a fad, you know. And then the first book, the first diet book in English, was written in England in the 1800s, and it was 100% paleo.
Wow. I have no problem being paleo. You know that I have some side note experiences with donuts on the occasion and whatnot, but we're not going to talk about that today. And also, just before I move on to my next question, because we're going to start talking about, you know, paleo and ketosis, which is becoming such a hot topic, if you will. But I just want to stop and let everybody listening, hear from me, because again, what you're hearing from Dr. Sebring here is, to me, if I could in some way clone his approach to medicine and his approach to health. And I've been working on it. I'm like, how can we get your expertise out there so that future generations of doctors practice medicine this way? Mm. This is, if you hear him, half the time when I see him, and he has, I don't know if you would call it this way, but I think you have a very holistic approach to health. And you certainly are not just looking ever like every doctor I've ever seen in my whole life and just writing me a script. We do bioidentical, hormonal stuff, which I've been doing since, several years ago. And I started seeing a doctor in Phoenix with that originally. But most of the time, you sit down and you'll talk to me about the big picture. You want to hear the big picture. Well, why are you having these headaches? And in fact, for everybody listening, you know, I had a conversation with him about headaches. And I'm like, there's something wrong with me, blah, blah, blah. And I have a lot of issues. But he's like, are you hydrating enough? And I shared this on Instagram. I'm like, of course I'm hydrating enough. And then he's like, just, you know, humor me, will you? Just do this. Make sure you're getting this much water every day. And he could have said, come in and see me. Let's do this. Let's get you a prescription. No, he said, check your water. And guess what? After a week, I realized I wasn't drinking nearly as much water as I thought I was. I am now focused on it and I have no headaches anymore. But this is a totally different approach to, proactive and preventative health, wellness, and fitness. And he's walking the life. He's walking the talk. When you see him, when you do some Googling of Dr. Sebring, I'll just tell you, I'm not going to say his age. Lane, you can say it if you want to. But I mean, he literally looks to me 20, 25 years younger than his age. So he is walking the walk and it works. Just had to put that out there again. And he did not pay me to say that. I just had to say it because it's, again, this is someone who's really changed my life and who I trust completely with my health and my wellness. So back to paleo and to ketosis. Yes. We've had a couple of other guests on the show, probably some of whom you've heard of, that I think are really great testaments again to how ketosis or practicing a ketogenic approach to diet and eating has really helped them and their myriad health issues. Most people tend to look into a ketogenic diet, if you will, for health issues. And it addresses so many of those. But again, there's a lot of listeners, Dr. Sebring, that are here that they hear ketosis, they hear ketogenic, they hear keto, and they're immediately thinking, kind of like I did in the beginning, of the Dr. Atkins diet back in the day, where they're like, well, just eat a bunch of bacon and burgers and you'll go into ketosis and your breath is going to smell, but you'll lose a lot of weight. So let's dispel the myths. And how do you explain ketosis or a ketogenic approach, and why is that such a great combination with a paleo diet, if you will? And I'm using air quotes around diet because it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle.
Right. What I will tell you is that there was a missing piece to paleo. And that what I found was the paleo diet did not accomplish. This sounds like heresy from my own to my patients that have known me for all these years. But it's not, as you'll see. But the paleo diet did not accomplish what I thought it should do. It didn't fix everything. So I would detox people. I would do all these different things. Oh, you're not getting enough sleep, you're too much stress, whatever. But, you know, Then I ran into the ketones and the ketogenic diet, and all of a sudden it reminded me of something I saw early on with paleo, and the average hunter-gatherer eats one meal a day. Well, I tried that early on, and I wasn't very good at it. It's hard to do. And so, I mean, I really got hungry, and then I didn't function very well either. So what the ketones do is allow you to be more into a hunter-gatherer physiology, our innate physiologic design. By that, what I mean is hunter-gatherers typically eat one meal a day, and their sugar goes up. And when they eat that meal, the sugar goes down, and then they start making ketones from their own fat. So they are actually, and we'll talk about that, but they are actually in ketosis 70% of every 24-hour day, because shortly after that one meal, they're burning their own fat, and that continues until the next day, until they eat their one meal a day. And then sugar goes up after that meal from the meal itself, causing the sugar to go up. It goes down, and they start burning fat again. So people talked about intermittent fasting, and they do all these things, and I kind of have to laugh because, yes, that's what eating one meal a day will get you, especially if you have a hunter-gatherer physiology and you switch quickly from a glucose energy source to a ketone energy source. So I think you asked about what are ketones and where does that come from, but very quickly what happens is, here's the hunter-gatherer. This is the way it really works. So the sugar goes up, sugar goes down after that meal as the sugar gets put into our cells, and then there's a signal for the body to start releasing fat from our fat cells. Now that fat was made from that sugar, but now that fat is coming out of our fat cells and into the bloodstream, and some of it goes to the liver, and the liver turns a fair portion of that into ketones. And what are ketones? I think, well, first of all, let me just say that ketones are a magnificent fuel. It's far superior to anything you can find around you to eat. We make a fuel for ourselves that is superior to what you can find in our environment or anything you can cook up in your kitchen, unless you're going to make ketones. You have to be a pretty good cook to do that. But these ketones go to the brain, they go to the heart, they go to our muscles, and they produce energy much better than glucose. Now, they produce the same amount of energy, but they make it 35% faster. And as we both know, after experiencing those ketones in the brain, it's quicker. You're sharper. You can recall better. You're better organized. You're better focused. You're more goal-oriented. You're happier. Your mood is better. You're more stable. Those are the things that ketones do for us. And paleo diet helped, but it didn't quite get there because we were missing the ketones, unless you were eating one meal a day. So that's what ketones are. They're a real magnificent fuel source, better than anything we can eat. The other thing that the ketones make, like I said, they make the same energy as glucose. They make it 35% faster, but they also do it with 28% less oxygen required. So your endurance goes up. They actually make you stronger. People sleep better. Ketones are magnificent for stopping seizures. It just goes on and on and on. That's why I call it the missing piece to paleo. Virtually every disease we have may easily be considered that we have it because we're not eating paleo and we're not making ketones for energy. When you put those two together, there's hardly anything you can't defeat in terms of a chronic disease.
Pretty awesome. And I can tell everybody that's listening, and I do have a couple additional questions so we can clarify some things. But I have, over the past, I don't know, however many months, I started to go paleo in my diet, if you will, to get healthier. And also it was, you know, for those that have been following me, I've had massive hormonal imbalances, and I've been dealing with trying to attack that. I mean, insulin resistance, hypothyroidism, Hashimoto's, I mean, you name it, estrogen issues, testosterone issues. I mean, when I first saw my first doctor, he looked at my blood work. He's like, whoa, I can't even believe you're standing and you're not 700 pounds. I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, well, you've been working out and whatnot. But as I transitioned to paleo, going paleo at first was hard for me because I was your typical fitness person consuming all of the, you know, bright blue pre-workout drinks. Everything I consumed was packaged and it was, you know, typical diet food. And it took a while for me to get used to it. Now that I'm used to it, I have then transitioned and evolved and moved into a ketogenic approach. And I definitely would, whether you call it intermittent fasting, fasting has become, it's very easy for me. I eat within about a 6 to 8 hour window. And my good friend Amanda Tress, who's been on the show, she's developed a whole fat loss program around it. And she's, I mean, I've watched her and her clients, based on everything we're talking about today, get into some of the best shape, have the most energy, look the best at any age. It's really quite remarkable. I think it's very, it can be a challenge if you've been eating that typical American diet with a lot of fast food, a lot of packaged foods. You know, it's, I don't suggest most people go hardcore and go all the way paleo. Get yourself into paleo. But I'm just telling you, for anybody listening, and we have a heavily skewed female audience listening, all of you write into us asking about weight loss, fat loss, how do I build muscle, how do I lose fat? This is working. I'm 48 years old. I'm getting in the best shape of my entire life. And I incorporate all of these principles. And I, one of the things we'll talk about, you know, as we wrap up here are, you know, enhancing your ketogenic diet with exogenous ketones. And we'll talk about if that's, is that a myth? Is that BS? Is that helpful? What does that do? But just a couple of things. So Dr. Sebring, when you're talking about then using glucose or ketones as an energy source. So if I'm putting it in Kelly Alexa terms, which is like I'm dumbing it down because you're so ridiculously smart. But if you're dumbing it down, basically when your body is in ketosis, you are, so in other words, when we're eating fuel, that's essentially what, and tell me if I'm wrong, the body's going to burn that food. When you are in ketosis and you're, you know, fasting and not eating for, you know, not grazing like our USDA pyramid would tell us to do, don't graze all day on grains. But when you're not grazing and your body doesn't have food in it continually, it's going to use fat as its source and therefore it's going to be burning fat. Is that a good way to summarize it in a dumbed down way?
Yes, absolutely. It's very accurate.
Okay, I feel pretty good about that. So I'm going to pat myself on the back. Well, you know, so we've obviously given folks, you know, a good picture here of why it works. And again, you guys just Google Dr. Sebring. He and his patients, and again, I'm one of them, are in remarkable shape. And it doesn't matter what age. This approach to health and wellness is extraordinary. And it really, again, this is not just about fat loss and fitness. This is about energy. It's about feeling better. It's to have mental clarity. I have all of these things as my diet and my approach has changed and evolved down this path. And one of the things I was exposed to because of connecting with you and some of your colleagues, Dr. Sebring, was exogenous ketones. And this is there's a lot of talk in the fitness space about exogenous ketones. And rather than have me summarize it, you and I both, for full disclosure, before we start talking about this, both Dr. Sebring and I take a product by Pruvit. It's exogenous ketones. We'll link up to this in the show notes. We highly recommend it, but obviously we're biased. We were exposed to this. We tried it. We loved it. It's great for us. And we are independent representatives of that company. So full disclosure, there is some bias there, but I'm not ashamed because it's all good. But Dr. Sebring, for those that are listening, you know, exogenous ketones, there's a lot of talk in the market. There's a lot of people going, oh, this is BS. It doesn't do anything for you. It's snake oil. And then there's some people that are such strong advocates. And then there's some people that have no idea what it is and what it does. So is this a be-all, fix-all? Can you just go out and buy some exogenous ketones and eat whatever you want and lose weight and become a genius overnight? Or what's the real deal?
You know, I'm really tempted to answer your question with a great big yes. Yes, you can just outdo. They are amazingly powerful. But no, that would be irresponsible and not quite accurate. No, there is so much more to be had in terms of how we feel and our functioning through the day that the exogenous ketones just opens our eyes to that fact. It's just the next level. We aren't as healthy as we're supposed to be. You know, let me digress here for just a moment. That, you know, the average hunter-gatherer can see the moons of Jupiter. They're aware of that. They can feel the heat of another human being from 25 feet away. Anybody that's lived with them for any length of time will tell you they're more intelligent than we are, better problem-solving, they're happier, they're less affected by adversity in childhood into adulthood. So we have a lot to learn from that. We need to drop our arrogance and learn from it, for what we were. They're pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. You think of an Eskimo, an Inuit Indian, or a Cro-Magnon heading out to bring down a mammoth, or the Eskimo going out in a kayak and coming back with a whale. Can you imagine that? Just amazing. So anyway, that's what we're capable of. And I really think ketones are a big part of that. And I know you believe that too, because you've experienced that. But the ketones are a way that you drink. It's in a drink. There's several companies out there doing this. I think one in particular is really far superior, but they're all have ketones in a drink, and you drink that and you are effectively, literally, actually in ketosis in about 30 minutes. Some of them takes a little bit longer, but in 30 minutes you can be experiencing those ketones. And when you do, you say, oh my gosh, I'm not giving this up. This I really feel like this is how I'm supposed to be.
I will agree. And I can tell you that. So again, we'll link up in the show. We are biased. We both like this product. I take it twice a day. And again, when it's just part of the evolution of my diet. I think it'd be far different for me if I was still taking all the junk and living my life the way I was several years ago. I don't think it would have the impact on me, because frankly, all of those things gave me so many side effects. I don't think I'd be able to wade through it, you know, and it's remarkable how much if I go back and have some of the things that I used to, immediate bloating, immediate headaches, things that I used to have all the time that I don't have anymore. But for me, I do notice, and it's hard to describe other than I have extreme clarity and energy. I was kind of getting to that point where I'd have a crash in the afternoon. You know this, when I first started seeing you, that mm-hmm. 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, and I mean like a hard crash where I feel like I could go to sleep. It really helps me. I don't know. I just, when I have this, I have it with coffee. I add a little coffee to the one in the morning, and then I have one about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it gives me for certain energy. I don't drink caffeine. I have coffee in the morning. Well, actually, I think the ketones have the ketones that I drink have the caffeine in it. But for sure, I've just noticed everything that Dr. Sebring has said. Energy, focus for sure. God knows I need it. And overall, this lifestyle has, I mean, I can't believe the fat loss I've experienced. Now, I don't say that the fat loss is specifically because of that product. I think it's overall all the changes, but everything works together. So in other words, what you're saying is this exogenous ketones, it's gonna put you in ketosis, and it means that you don't... It's definitely going to be more beneficial in all those areas, fat loss, memory, your mood, your endurance. It's going to help you in the gym, but it's not a quick fix. It's not something that if you're not really changing your lifestyle, you know, this isn't right. We aren't suggesting this is a quick fix. It's a pill that can, you've got to look at changing your whole life with it. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? Here's the fun part about it. You drink the ketones and all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, there is more. I can do something. I can feel better. I can watch these problems and symptoms I have start to disappear. So you want to do more. And it's easier to do more with ketones. You know, you see a wild animal out there and you see how healthy they are and you go, well, I don't feel like that at all. Well, you drink the ketones and you go, okay, I'm starting to see what this is all about now. And what being healthy is about. And that to me is, you know, the ketones also, you know, something that neither one of us had mentioned, and I was just thinking, is they suppress your appetite. You're not hungry.
Yeah.
I drank my ketones in the morning, and I'm not hungry till about 1:30. And so, and my brain is functioning. My energy is good. I get through the day. It's easier. It's fun. Let's say I didn't sleep well at night for whatever reason. I didn't get to bed in time like I should have, or had to get up extra early. And I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be a rough day today. I'm getting to sleep. Oh, wait, I've got ketones. This is going to be a great day.
I don't know why I can't imagine you getting up going, it's going to be a rough day. But, you know, you also just made me think of something with what you just said. And we are getting to the end of our time. I've got to wrap us up. But, you know, I'm certainly planning on stalking you to have you back on the show to talk about some other topics that are complementary to this that make sense. And you know, one of the things you talked about was that this approach and the exogenous ketones can help you, minimize your hunger. It definitely works for me. And one of the things that I have noticed and that I feel very strongly about is, you know, I think there's too much media coverage in the fitness space about whether it's clean eating, and I'm using air quotes over here, or paleo, and a lot of people mistakenly out there calling themselves health experts or fitness experts that really don't have any credentials or credibility are out there going, hey, just eat paleo, eat all you want, just eat, you know, 9 billion tons of, avocado and guacamole and beef and load up on 1,700 bulletproof coffees per day. Of course, I'm exaggerating. But Dr. Sebring, you know, one of the things that you talked to me about when we started finally moving my body in the right direction was because I asked you, I said, I'm actually, you know, when we started to see that my body went into fat loss mode and it was very quick, I was like, I'm eating so much less than I've been eating for the past year. And again, I had somebody that was advising me incorrectly, and that was, I have to take responsibility that I followed that advice back then. But I was eating so much more, and I think a lot of people in the health, wellness, and fitness space need to understand, ultimately, you do have to watch how much food you take in. And so that's going to be my last, it's like a yes or no question if you want to go a little further, but do you agree with that? Like, you can't just eat all you want, right? Do you agree?
Right. You know, we've all been told a calorie is a calorie is a calorie, and we know that's not true, but calories still count. And we do have to watch how much we eat. And so I think that's a mistake so many people make, but because that's what's being said, you know, it doesn't matter how much you eat. I think that sort of paleo, a lot of people were saying it doesn't matter how much you eat, because the real truth is if you're eating nutrient dense foods like paleo is, your appetite or your you become satiated, you become satisfied very quickly on fewer calories. So when you're eating nutrient depleted foods, or in some cases nutrient depleting foods like grains and potatoes and beans, then you have to keep eating to get what you need. And that's too many calories by the time you get that accomplished.
Yeah. And it takes, you know, it took a while for me to shift. You know, because I used to be somebody that was very obsessed with food. I think that just came from years of extreme dieting. And a lot of people have done that in the fitness space. A lot of women, even men now, disordered eating and extreme dieting, up and down, yo-yo. I've become more comfortable with food. But ultimately, you know, I eat a lot less now. And it's not that I set out every day to go, well, I'm going to only have this many calories. But I find because the quality of my food has increased so much, and again, this ketogenic approach and paleo food, it just works for me. When I eat foods, I'm fulfilled. I don't have to be obsessive about, oh, you know, how many calories was this meal? I'm fulfilled. I have energy. I don't feel the need to snack in between meals. I just feel better. And most importantly for me, my body is transforming like never before. I haven't experienced the fat loss and muscle gain I've experienced most recently this year than in probably the past 5 years. So that's remarkable. Number two, I don't have all the side effects I used to have for years. Always bloated, always having stomach aches, always having headaches, always having hunger cravings, always obsessing over food. All that's gone. Took a while to get here, but I really enjoy life now. And we're going to talk a lot more about all of this. So Dr. Sebring, just for everybody listening, we will link up to this in the show notes. But for those that are looking to potentially contact you or find out more about you, where can we send them online?
The best place to go is SebringClinic.com, S-E-B-R-I-N-G, like the car, SebringClinic.com.
I remember how much I wanted that car back in the day. That's pretty cool. I hadn't thought about that until today. But thank you so much for being on the show. Everybody, if you have any questions, we will be doing a lot more with Dr. Sebring in the future. You can write into us on fitfluentialradio.com, where you'll see the show notes. You can leave us a comment on if you leave a review on iTunes, and we will follow up and let you know when we'll have him back on the show, when we'll have some Facebook Live sessions coming up, and more. But for now, thanks for tuning in. We will see you all next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.